Welcome to the Soul Aligned Living Podcast. This is a place where we awaken to our brightest, most authentic selves, navigate the journey to integrate divine human self and our divine soul self in a world that forgot to give us the ascension map. Together, we get to find our true path and purpose and take the soul initiation to raise our frequency as part of this great awakening in collective consciousness. Now is the time to choose your happiness and become the soul architect of your life. My name's Alara Dawn. I'm known as the Modern Day High Priestess. I'm a founder of Pure Light 1111, author, public speaker, and grounded transformational guide and multidimensional healer for women desiring to elevate their lives, businesses, and legacies. I believe women are being called to reject status quo, all self-sacrifice and narratives that have been told to her, to disconnect any part of herself, including her masculine and feminine essence, her sexual pleasure, and using her voice and her intellect. This is a time of feminine awakening and rebirth, and our power lies in owning all of our magic, power, and fire fully. Let's boldly shine unapologetically together. Let's get started. Welcome, everybody. I am super excited to be bringing forth the first guest podcast of 2024. And I'm really honored and delighted to invite Emily Ghosh Harris onto the podcast with us today. And you may well have seen the recent episode that we had where I joined her podcast, and she's coming over to share an amazing session with us today. Emily is a multifaceted CEO and founder of Soul Media Global, which is a portal of expansion to help elevate heart-centered entrepreneurs and companies. And specifically, she works with star seeds and light workers. So many of my audience fit within there. She's also a 5D business mentor, intuitive guide, sound alchemist, and podcast host. And yeah, I'm super excited to have you on board today.
Thank you, Alara. Welcome. It's an honor to be here.
And today we've got quite an exciting episode where we're going to be talking about supporting new star seeds entering the earth plane. And this topic is really dear to my heart because it feels so like it really locks that in within us that we are here to pave a better pathway for those that are due to come onto this planet. And sometimes we get stuck in the kind of day-to-day of our own grind, but when we realize there's a bigger picture and there's all these souls that are wanting the experience on earth, we know that we've got so much more power. So yeah, really delighted that you are going to share more with us. So is there an area where you would like to start with this? Because it's quite a broad topic. Well, where will we go?
It is. You know, I feel, you know, just before we started recording, you mentioned about the heightened intuition during pregnancy. And, you know, I'm right now in my fifth month of pregnancy, and it is a time of heightened intuition. It's an initiation. There's so much change and transformation that's taking place, you know, in the physical body, emotional, spiritual. And, you know, what's really been coming through is around supporting star seeds from conception to the journey in the earth plane. And there's just so many facets to that. But I mean, I'll start by sharing, I had a really spiritual experience, as I know many people have, with conception. And, you know, I'm 40 years old. Many years ago, had one of my ovaries removed. You know, I have other factors that probably make it harder to get pregnant. And I was guided to go to Mount Shasta on my 40th birthday. And, you know, I live in Florida. It's not an easy journey to make to go across, you know, the country. And anybody that's been to Mount Shasta knows it's not like a direct flight. You have to, you know, fly into San Francisco, and then it's many hours drive. So it takes a little bit of effort to get there. But I just felt very strongly in my soul, this is what I'm being guided to do. I'm not sure why, but I just felt such a strong call to go there and to go by myself. That was really key of the guidance that I was receiving. And now I know why. I needed that time to really connect with my spirit baby. I had read this book, Spirit Babies, several months prior to that. And I think it was just in my consciousness. But really the idea is that spirit babies are always really communicating with us. And we have the ability to really call in and welcome in that soul. And, you know, in my journey personally, I wasn't sure if motherhood was in the cards for me. You know, I felt like I could go either way with it. And I feel my life is very full and, you know, very, so much gratitude for the life that I've lived thus far. And I just wasn't sure. And I just had this moment where it became so clear that I really deeply desire to become a mother in this lifetime. And it was at that point where I really communicated with the spirit baby and just let that soul know that I was ready, that I would, you know, do everything in my you know, own power to make room, to make space, to be intentional about welcoming that soul in. And what's amazing, Alara, is that when I returned a couple weeks later, I think it was 2 weeks after I returned, is when my partner and I conceived, which really truly felt like a miracle in every sense of the word. And you know, there's so much.
Share that as well with people that may well be taking on the kind of day-to-day beliefs of, you know, you're too old, you're geriatric over a certain age, and knowing that ultimately it is a soul path and journey, and it's a soul initiation to say yes to motherhood. And regardless of the medical side of things, the 3D obstacles, your connection both to your own soul and path and knowing yourself was a, you know, part of that pathway to listen to your intuition and connect in with that soul and trust that over and above every other circumstance and experience. And then look what happens, the miracles happen.
Absolutely. And I love that you highlighted that. And I know every woman's journey of, you know, motherhood and pregnancy is so unique and different. But I do think that the focus on the spiritual connection is so important because, as you mentioned, you know, if we focus too much on the science and on the medical, I think it can become a little bit overwhelming or daunting. Or in my case, it's like you have all these statistics that are perhaps not in your favor. And it really is the energy of new beginnings, of welcoming in, of new possibilities and staying open to that, which I feel allows possibilities to emerge.
And also getting really clear your trust in the unseen and source and your direction, which also means you have to say no to the doubters. You have to say no to the consuming what doesn't align with your inner truth and vision, and beginning to harvest and hone in on that was building within you enough to get on a plane and take your pilgrimage of, you know, conception, shall we say, you know, to have that spiritual connection, which is probably because there's many vortexes and a portal way that is very close to where that star system of that little seed wants to come in. You know, it was like literally we sometimes get told to kind of go on the journey because we come back a different person. It's the pilgrimage route. So it's so special to hear that story, and also for others to trust. You know, you might get, I used to get these downloads, which would be like, okay, you've got to go to Glastonbury tomorrow or Stonehenge. And I'm like, it's 10:30 at night. What, you know, so I'm literally getting up at 5 a.m. and I'm going and I don't know why. And then it all unravels and I meet somebody that I'm meant to meet. And it's not even just the conception story. It's like these kind of nudges people might be getting day to day, but they're ignoring them because they're so entrenched in their to-do list or what is. But the magic of soul and the magic of really beginning to step into that multidimensional self is this trust in these nudges. If it's coming more than once, you have to stop and listen.
Absolutely. I love that, Alara. And I feel like it really prepares us for the journey of becoming conscious parents and supporting these new earth children that are coming in, whether it's, you know, indigo, crystal, rainbow, diamond children that are incarnating. These are really amazing beings that come with cosmic codes to really help earth to help humanity at this time. You know, they're connected to such higher frequencies of consciousness. They really come with that connection to other realms still intact. And they really are bringing forth new technology, new wisdom, new gifts, new ideas, new codes. And we really need to remain open in our ability to allow them to be the guides and the teachers that they came here to be. And I feel like it requires us to really do the work to prepare. And, you know, this has been going on for generations, right? Of us doing the inner work, the clearing, to be able to make way for these new souls that are coming in at this time. And, you know, I think everybody that's drawn to listen to your podcast is a starseed, right? Is yeah. somebody that comes here with gifts. And, you know, I really connected with this several years ago when I became certified in galactic astrology. And I think there's so much that's coming through right now on the earth at this time about really remembering our connection to other star systems, other constellations, other places besides this earth realm. And it's really a deep remembrance that I feel is taking place at this time. And so galactic astrology was sort of an entry point, which allowed me to really understand more of our multidimensional existence and understand the soul's path through the cosmos. And it really is such an eye-opening experience because it helps us to realize perhaps some of the spaces and places where we're still carrying that thread of perhaps soul trauma. We're still carrying that thread of, you know, areas of needing to heal those ancestral wounds. And so it really illuminates also places and spaces where history has repeated itself, you know, in Atlantis and other, mm-hmm. you know, timelines where perhaps we've misused technology. We really get invited to revisit in a new way and bring a new level of consciousness so that we don't repeat the same cycles, the same patterns. And, you know, of course, it's no coincidence. This is all taking place as we really enter and deepen into the age of Aquarius. We have these cosmic evolutionary cycles where we have this heightened activity, this heightened level of chaos that's taking place on the earth. And we certainly see that at this time. This is a period of so much chaos, so much, you know, drama, so much division, so much polarity. And we're really invited to stay in our center, to be regulated in our nervous system. And all of these skills are so important and so translate so much to welcoming in, ushering in this new generation of starseeds that are coming to really help us to move through this time, space, dimension in a new way.
And I love so many different codes and points that you brought in there. And often that calling to be a mother is the initiation for you to alchemize perhaps what needs to be alchemized so that the soul can come through. And that's been discussions when I've worked with women doing the preconception work, and the starseeds are wanting to come in, and they don't want to come into the dense, heavy trauma or the scarcity. So it becomes this initiation, that drive to be the mother. That drive for that initiation is enough that somebody is going to step up as that generational chain breaker within themselves, but then also run that energy through the ancestral line, start to run that up through the soul group so that it opens up that level of new consciousness to come in. And obviously these souls are very high vibrational. So another pattern I saw is that for those that were not maybe able to do some of the denser work, there's been a real influx of, I can't remember the name of the condition, but it's where there's morning sickness pretty much throughout the whole pregnancy. And the reason for that, when I was speaking to the teens, was that it was the only way to create a level of purge so that that soul that was a higher vibration, because obviously it's like, you know, if you have a higher vibration in something that's dense, it literally has to find a way of purging. And this stuff's like ancient. This is through like the bones. This is through four layers of the blood that was all connected through, you know, ancestral lines. And they were saying that that process, if you imagine, that's what you're doing if you're going somewhere to do a ceremony of ayahuasca. You're taking something that is shifting you from the inside out. It's shifting you on many different levels to create a purge, a vibrational shift. And they were sharing that for some lines where there is a deep need of transformation, that is going to be something that's orchestrated between the mother and the soul. And obviously the 3D version of self is like, I've had enough of this experience. But that was kind of what was happening. And I was having women come to me, and it was by me giving them the energy clearing tools and basically helping through that integration that was beginning to stop that process being so, you know, intense. They weren't needing to purge in that way because we were essentially clearing some of the stuff she wasn't aware of. And I feel that that is like the expanded awareness of not just the 3D medical view, but also, you know, these souls do ask us to step in and do quite different things. It's not cookie cutter. It is very much an agreement between us and them. And actually allowing that dialogue through your intuition and communication can really help not bring about the emotional charge of maybe blame or judgment or frustration, which you might feel if you were unwell for months on months. It's like it forges that strengthened relationship with spirit of the baby and also your own soul path. So I feel that it's an initiation of both preconception, the pregnancy, and then obviously over that threshold of motherhood is through another gateway altogether. And were you guided that you had to clear anything in particular or change anything in the way that you were working or living or to be able to support the pregnancy? Were you given any insights?
Well, first, I mean, full body chills on what you're saying, because that is so powerful. And I think it's such an important reminder that we have constant communication throughout the pregnancy journey into conception. And it's true, the soul is communicating their wishes and desires. And so I've received, you know, intuitive downloads about foods to eat at certain times, or, you know, if it's a natural supplement that I'm taking, it's like, oh, now is you're good, you know, and really listening into that. Or, you know, today I'm really craving more greens. I haven't had any like crazy pregnancy cravings, but it's been really subtle. And I've tried my best to pay attention to what it is moment to moment. I also receive the guidance to move, which I feel is really important to the energy. You know, I live right now on a pretty busy road. And I think just the energy of the traffic going by is a little bit too much. And so moving even 30 minutes away will be a completely different energy and frequency to welcome in that soul. So those are some examples of some of, you know, the intuitive downloads that I received, but also around labor, around giving birth. That's something also that, you know, I've received pretty clear guidance. And I know that every labor experience is so unique, and there's such an element of surrender. Like, we can have our perfect birth plan and, you know, just allow the universe to show us what is, you know, highest and best, or what is, you know, meant to be at that time. But I will, you know, I do plan at this present moment to birth at a birthing center with a doula, really surrounded by the women, you know, the ancient wisdom keepers, and really return to, you know, hopefully just more of just this welcoming, warm environment to welcome that soul in, which is interesting because I think those are some of the things just to be aware and conscious of with these, you know, new star seeds that are coming into this earth plane, is just some of the ways to best support them, which is less of the artificial. You know, when possible, we have so many devices, even our lighting systems can be really, you know, harsh. So be attuning to the environment, like less artificial technology, more time out in nature, more time connecting with the plant realm, the animal realm, foods that are really high vibrational. You know, other things like the levity of playfulness and creativity. You know, these are all things that we could probably, you know, go on and kind of explore some of those things. But yeah, for me, the birth element is an important aspect because it is I feel such a sacred time when this little being is making their presence into this world.
And it really resonates because my journey of this was around 2018, and I was getting a lot of women coming to me with experiences after birth, and they were maybe not fully themselves grounded in the body. There was soul work that needed to be done. And when we went back in and looked at what had happened in the birth experience, for many of them, there was a lot of intervention. They were not, you know, they kind of were not in their power. And what I was being shown is the importance for these souls to literally, there needs to be an energetic space set up, almost like holding ceremony. And in the temple times, this was taking me back to like the Isis line or the Hathor line that I held, you would have had three priestesses holding the energetic space within the birthing temple. So what I then went off and retrained as a doula myself, because I wanted to see what's happening in the system, but I also wanted to see from both the medical and the more kind of like holistic side, and then allowed my kind of soul self and goddess Isis to come through and give me more information around grounding a new way of you know, birthing essentially. And it's something that I'm actually bringing into my Keys of the Goddess healing system, because we've got death doula and birth doula, because that cycle has been completely cut out. And that's why we fear death so much. That's why we fear birth so much. And, you know, the use of sound, you know, you're a sound healer. Singing that child, even that noise of, you know, humming, noise, connection, the primal need to bring what I call not just breath of God, the sound of God as well. When we go up to like Rishi consciousness, there is sound of God, and you are bringing in a soul through those different dimensional layers through you. So it's like it can be an ecstatic experience. And orgasmic birth was something that was experienced within temple times. And I went back and found five lifetimes where I'd had, you know, an orgasmic birth. And that means that we hold codes within us that at a soul level, we know it's possible, even though with our outer reality and mainstream tells us completely different. There is something when we start to tap into soul, we start to begin to realize the power of actually who we have been and what paths we've walked that lives within us. It's not something you need to necessarily go and explore in a book. It can actually be rebirthed through you, through your exploration and your choice. So I'm seeing that, you know, more people choosing free birth or choosing actually just to do it their way. And I think that's the key thing, is doing it your way, not with the intrusion of somebody else basically taking power of your body. And that is a big, obviously, another story altogether, but that is really what we're also breaking the chains, because how powerful is it for you know, our generations and for others to know that we can have births that are, you know, empowered, births that are on our terms, births that are deeply spiritual, you know, a full-on rebirth and transformation of ourselves. We understand that side of things, but also knowing that if any of us go through a massive ceremony or experience, we need integration. And that's really where that first 40 days comes in, is almost the rebirth of the mother, but also, you know, the birth of the child. And that integration period is something that when I was doing the doula work, you know, there's a lot of in that field, you can gather a lot of information about that kind of process and the importance of it. And I feel that these things are what these children need. But the system, which was, you know, desecrated in many different ways, completely medicalized things, and women just don't have the knowledge of it. We've had the sisterhood, the grandmothers that would have passed it down, or the other lineages that would have passed it down. So that got cut away. So where before we would have had people training in the temples, they would have known, you would have had doulas and birth keepers and people that could have helped. That's gone. And now I feel that by us rebirthing this through our own experiences, we're creating a new lineage. We're the new walking, living expression of the wise women. And through our initiations, we get to pave new ways for not only our own lineages, but the women we share these messages with and, you know, our experiences, so that they see there is another way and they get to choose. I can have an empowered birth. It does not need to be whatever experience Mary down the road's had, or this woman that stops me in the street, because women tend to just decide to tell you their birth stories if you're pregnant. So it's like, you know, it's a very, very powerful and also this is a deep piece around the divine feminine being rebirthed on this planet, but our power really to birth and the power of the womb. It's an awakening through so many layers, you know, for everybody that we kind of come into contact with and we drop these seeds off with. So I'm super excited that you are paving the way with this. And it sounds like it's deeply embodied in your power. And yeah, it feels so good. And I think for people listening that to this, feel into that, because that's an expression in itself. And I think that's deeply powerful.
Yeah, Alara, there's so much that you just shared there that I just want to kind of mirror back, because one that you mentioned is really the resurrection of the womb that I feel so passionate and strongly about. And that's something that I forgot to mention in my personal story. But before I even had made that really conscious decision of, yes, I saying yes to motherhood, I was called to do womb healing work, and it was really profound and so healing. So that's something that I would recommend for anybody, regardless of whether you are wanting to become a mother or not. It's, we all hold so much energy and so much experiences and emotions in the womb center. And really, we are rebirthing our womb, and on a micro sense and on the macro sense, the womb of Gaia and the womb of all of creation. So it has such a ripple effect into the universe and beyond. I mean, this work is so powerful. And I find that, you know, we can all find our own unique way of working with a womb. For me, it has been really about bringing in golden light frequencies in a calm, you know, meditation, and also working with sound frequencies, as you mentioned, can be so healing. It's really remarkable, you know, the studies of children in the womb and how they respond to voices, and how they're so connected to the music and the frequencies that come through even while in the womb. And it's such a powerful reminder that we are sound and light vibrations and frequencies, and we're so connected on an energetic realm to sound. And so sound, I feel, can be something that is, you know, such a powerful healing modality in medicine, and something that we can work with. Even the human voice, the power of the voice, whether it's humming, whether it's mantras, whether it's chanting, you know, because these new beings that are incarnating in really come with their throat chakras online. That's something that I've, you know, noticed in my work. And you know, there have been blocks, you know, in past generations. And so what we're seeing is just the power of the voice to be able to provide, you know, a ripple effect for future generations. But, you know, the other thing that you mentioned that I just also want to highlight is the power of knowing the possibilities. And I think it's through like mystery schools and teachings such as, you know, you're doing, as myself, you know, because, and so many of us here, that are just planting these little seeds of remembrance that are so, so powerful. Because, you know, to your point in sharing, if you're hearing only traumatic birth stories, you're not going to ever conceptualize the possibility of orgasmic birth. You know, that might not even be on your radar. And so it's really through just this curiosity and exploration of really what is possible. You know, maybe it isn't through the traditional medical center. You know, maybe there's something else that's available. And I feel we have the ability to reimagine and rebirth all of these systems and structures that really are not serving us and that are outdated. And I think that's the challenge and the beauty of, you know, becoming a parent or, you know, leading in this new earth movement at this time, because, you know, it is a question of, okay, well, maybe, for example, the traditional school system is not, you know, perhaps the right system for me, but what does a new system look like? What is the other possibility? You know, is it homeschool? Is it, you know, is it something else? And we get to co-create, you know, the many of us with what the possibilities are, and begin to reimagine these new systems and structures.
Yeah. And I think that's so powerful, touching on education, because that's almost the next hurdle of being placed within the institution of society to a degree. It's, you know, if you get through the birth experience, which, you know, is very, if you're going along one route, very, you know, institutionalized, and knowing that, you know, Steiner, he, around the time when he came in, he was seeding information that was going to be for the children that are coming through now. So for those that may well have heard of the Steiner education mode, they might want to explore that. And he looked into, like Montessori comes from threads from that as well. So it looks at allowing children an opportunity to understand themselves in relation to their environment and explore and play up until about the age of about seven, because it's then that they are both energetically not as dependent on the mother, because up until about seven, all the chakras are still lower three being encoded, developed by their home environment. So to then put them in a school and start, you know, giving them very harsh messaging, which is actually suppressing expression and development, it can actually affect them emotionally. So he was aware of this, and knowing that that connection to nature, keeping that channel of awareness and curiosity open, is going to be so important for these children. And the current model of schooling does the opposite. It shuts us down, it puts us into fear, it means that we're all in a hierarchy, there's only 2% that can be the top. You know, straight away there is a programming of scarcity and less than, and if you're not getting it at home, you're going to get it in the school system. So having the awareness that, you know, connecting with other families that are doing it, there's something called the Green School that's opened, that's in a few different countries, and that has seen a big uptake in, you know, creatively building something new. And I feel that this is also the initiation for these parents, is that it will be a driver that may see them live in other countries, pull together resources and communities with others, and also understanding different experiences. You know, if you've got a legal background and you've got teachers, and, you know, you're a couple and you've got others that have all these resources that can pull something together that is still at a high standard for these children, I feel that that is, you know, it's open. It's like choose your own adventure. This really is. And I feel that many go, oh my gosh, they worry and they look for what is for the answers. We're to rebirth the art. We're to birth the new. That's our job. Mm. You know, it's not really to tap into what we have. It's to go, right, okay, that didn't work for me and it's not working now. So, right, drawing board.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that you brought up Steiner. You know, he's a Sirian starseed, and often the wisdom isn't fully, you know, realized until many years later. And he's such a perfect example of that, as is Einstein and other Sirian souls. But, you know, really, I feel like one of the themes of this time is taking our power back, and looking at systems and structures that really put power externally. So if there's a medical system, for example, where, you know, all the answers are held by a prescription or, you know, an authority figure outside, as opposed to trusting our own innate wisdom and intuitive guidance and own innate healing abilities. And not to say that those can't be, you know, amplified or supported, but really I feel such a strong call at this time, as we're moving deeper into the age of Aquarius, to really recognize that we all hold the keys and the codes. We all hold this innate wisdom. We all are the keepers of our own ability to heal and evolve and expand. And this is really that time of rebirth and ascension. And so, you know, I feel there is that call to really go within and look at really any areas that we are perhaps externalizing power. And even if that is, you know, in, you know, this theme of a guru, right? This idea of having a teacher that's on a pedestal, it's really recognizing that we hold so much wisdom, each of us within, and that we are all equal, and that we all have such an important role to play during this time.
And I feel this guru piece is so fascinating, because one of the big pieces that I was kind of initiated through was that I had to go deep into Atlantean karma before I could set my business up in 2017. And that illuminated around me, you know, sat in the banking structure at that time, many of those players were the priests or those that were in power and people that, you know, lost their way or lost their connection to divine creator source and thought that they could kind of crack the codes of creation and do better themselves. And I think it's this awareness that, you know, we have both the power of light and dark within us, and we have lived both those paths. And it's about taking that self-responsibility to know that, you know, coming from that inner knowing means that we're not going to then create something that essentially repeats the past. You know, whether it's rebuilding a new system and then suddenly we think we're the best system ever. It's like any of that kind of hierarchical, driven by power, greed, not able to, or almost like competition and this scarcity of like, I've got to be first. That energy all like is the same creation energy that saw the fall of Atlantis. And it's seductive and it's woven through so many of our systems and our social media and everything. And I feel that this know thyself, whether it's to do with pregnancy, whether it's how you live your life, whether it's how you birth your children, know thyself. It's coming back to that inner north and that compass that hopefully if more people start to take that radical self-responsibility and catch themselves out when they are getting a bit seduced by a certain pathway, means that we do start to redirect the collective ship and create something better. And even if things do go wonky, there's enough people that can at least see it for what it is. Whereas before, I feel that many couldn't see. That's part of the problem. They couldn't see the smoke and mirrors and the illusion. And I feel that that is dramatically going to be changing as people open their hearts and start to feel more, quite frankly.
I absolutely agree. And I feel, you know, I really feel at this time, it's letting go of these false frequencies and however they're manifesting, you know, and showing up in our lives is, you know, because there can be superior thinking and there can also be this inferior way of thinking, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, you know, and that's also very prevalent. And, you know, what I've come to understand is that these are really like two sides of the same coin. It's really that same sort of egoic wound of forgetting that we are all a part of this one eternal source consciousness. We are all sparks of the divine. And it's through that remembrance, it's through that self-love, it's through forgiveness that we're able to repair that within and also see that mirrored out, you know, in the collective as well. And so I love that you bring up, you know, letting go of the comparison and the competition. I feel so many of us have, you know, this deep remembrance of perhaps Lemurian timelines or other timelines off planet where it was much more harmonious. There was so much unity and collaboration and respect and unconditional love. And we're beginning to, I feel, let go of some of these false frequencies so that we can return to a more harmonious way of being.
Yeah, and I think it also comes to, it was a choice point, I feel, because it is a path to unpeel the inner judgments and projections and the blame. And that is an initiation in itself. And yeah, I think it's a really pivotal time, you know, on this planet, really, at this moment. I feel that January has just given us a nice little taster of the intensity and the wave of shadow that will be arising. It's almost as a wave. It's going to take you down so that you can rise higher again. And it's like you either ride these waves and figure out, okay, well, I'm not going to be smashed by them. I'm going to go in and do the work, face myself, and it might mean more cleanup so that I can actually, whether it's the preconception work or whether it's move forwards towards a business goal that is, you know, out of your reach at this time because you need to do the inner work. And it's like beginning to take that responsibility. Like none of these things are just given. We're on the soul path. It is, you know, okay, I'm saying yes to soul. That means yes to show me what's in the way because the growth is there through it. And it's understanding that rather than chasing the clouds. Like I actually sent an email out today and I was saying there's kind of these blind spots and I just want to highlight them and they can happen to you at any level of your healing journey. And it is this awareness of you always have a level of blind spot. We always do. But it's about the self-responsibility of how do we approach whether we're manifesting something new or we are you know, manifesting something we don't want. How we approach it is kind of key, really.
Yeah, that is so beautiful, and something that you said really kind of sparked this this excitement and remembrance, and really, I feel, you know, it's how we tap into the energy at this time that's so important, and you do it in an intuitive way. And, you know, I use astrology a lot of times to kind of tap into the changes of this time and energy. And, you know, it's a very transformational time that we're moving through. You know, the next decade, you know, if you look at even in 2025, the outer planets are going to be changing signs, and we'll also have a nodal axis shift in 2025. So lots of changes leading up to 2027, when there has been so many prophecies around that time, particularly whether it's Mayan or whether it's, you know, Ra Aruhu's prophecy. We just know, I think, intuitively, that this is a very transformational time. And what's beautiful about that is that, you know, when we understand that we're in the midst of great change, that we can work with the energy to prepare. So we know that we can be sort of the eye of the hurricane through our own, you know, practices, creating and cultivating that inner fortitude to be able to move through. Because what I really do believe is that, yes, there's going to be great change during the next decade, but I also feel as though it's going to affect each of us so differently and so individually, based upon where we're kind of at and the work, the inner work that we're each doing. So it's such a beautiful reminder to, you know, continue to do the inner work, to continue to love all that arises, you know, as we move through this time, space, reality.
Oh, definitely. And I feel that there's going to be, we're going to see it so much even in the now, not in just in 2 years' time. We'll notice that, you know, the person that is kind of still holding on to a certain pattern or frequency that feels so familiar and safe, that is going to then be uncomfortable for us to be around, and to also have that in our space, because it then becomes an influencer on our own timelines and our own energy state as well. So I feel that naturally there's going to be a lot of movement, whether it's location or people, you know, kind of leaving relationships. I'm already seeing waves of that happening. And I think that is also understanding that these soul contracts came together through karma. And when we've kind of learned the lessons and done the inner alchemy, we then have a choice. Can we still grow together, or can we, you know, either redefine that agreement and that connection? Otherwise, it's going to mean the soul desires growth and we move forwards. That means new exploration, new ideas, and noticing that, is this a true block in my path, or is this actually telling me that I've expired something and I now need to be actually moving into something new? Because I think it's quite difficult to tell when there's so much going on. If it's, is it my skill set I'm not doing right? Is it, you know, is it me that's just avoiding it unconsciously? Or is this the time now that I need to put that to bed and expand? And I think that inner knowing and constantly coming back to it means that it's easier to navigate those changes rather than waiting till everything's blocked and you're like, what's going on? I'm frightened now and not in the state to kind of see. And I think that's where community and seeking the help, we're not meant to do this on our own. And although I don't agree with the whole like guru thing, part of my role has been go through the flames of fire, then alchemize a way of assisting others to see what they can't see in a shorter period of time. So it's like there are opportunities to get the help to keep you moving through the transformation without it being codependent. And I think that's the key. It's like, get the support, but we're not going into codependence or psychic codependence or, you know, any of those kind of entanglements, because often that's kind of what we're disentangling from this time round as well. Have you experienced that at all on your journey and your evolution?
Yeah, I think one of the things is really finding community that is in resonance, you know, with whom you feel that heart connection with. And, you know, one of the words that just keeps coming through around this time is transparency. It's like really allowing everything to come to the surface. And it's almost like this crystal clear, you know, lens from which we all get to see the world, whereas perhaps before is maybe like a snow globe where things were a little bit more murky. It's like as a frequency, as plasma light waves come into the earth at this time, everything is coming to the surface and we just have a much more clearer lens from which to see people's stuff, to see our own stuff, you know, and with that really is the gift of being able to see so much more clearly, to see in such an honest way and to really support all that arises during this time. And you know, and I think that brings us into deeper heart coherence, deeper resonance, to find our soul family, to find our tribe at this time, and also to find really the gifts that we're meant to share, that are meant to come forth at this time, and really having the courage to be able to express those in our own unique way that we're meant to shine.
And that's so powerful, because I feel that there's a lot of people that are feeling, I've got fire within me, but I'm kind of sat on the fence, because there is a level of initiation of who am I actually without, you know, who am I with the identity that I hold at the moment, and who do I become by stepping into that soul path of purpose? I mean, if I think about the level of rebirths that I've had and continue to have, and, you know, sometimes I can look quite dramatically different when I've had a soul aspect integrate, you know, my voice can shift, or I can, you know, and it's like that is actually what our templating actually is allowing now, is that level of growth. And are you willing to step into the unknown and gain kind of the treasures of the soul? But it means going in and taking the trust and the step in front of each other, because nobody can do it for you. And I feel that that's a big consciousness shift from people that are in, you know, the mainstream kind of work environments, for example, because there's always a trajectory. You've got somebody else that you get promoted into that role, or there's no file path in that way. You are co-creating with Source and Soul. And how was that experience for you? Because you came from a marketing background, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, one of my spirit animals is the snake. It's really the divine feminine, alchemy, shedding of skin. And I see snakes often where I go. And they're such a like powerful and potent reminder for me of alchemy, transmutation, rebirth, shedding of old skin, letting go of what no longer serves us. And Alara, to your sharing, it's true. It's scary to step into the known. It's scary to step into a new identity, even if you know in your heart and soul that this is what you're meant to be doing. You know, I know for myself, you know, I spent a decade and much longer than that, really being on the brink of knowing that there was something more that I was meant to do, but not knowing how to express it, feeling stuck in kind of the familiar. You know, it was more of the status quo of the traditional route, of not really seeing anything else modeled for me, of, you know, besides working hard, getting a good education, climbing, you know, your way up the ladder, like building stability. Like these were things that were kind of emphasized. And so that was the route that I took. But I knew for me personally, there was so much more to my journey. And so I just want to share that, because if anyone out there that's listening that feels like, gosh, I know that there's something more that I'm meant to do and express, it does take so much courage. And it also takes baby steps. One of my favorite, you know, reminders is this idea of 1 degree turns. And it's this idea that we're not meant to make a 180 all at once. And some people do that. And that's great if that's your path. But oftentimes it's these small, subtle changes. It's respecting your boundaries. It's making the decision to say no to something that doesn't feel in alignment. It's maybe spending more time alone and listening to your inner guidance. It's cultivating that inner voice of, resilience and creativity, and all of those seeds that are nurtured turn into this beautiful garden over time that unfolds as our purpose, which I believe, and I know that you and I have discussed this before. It's like this beautiful garden that unfolds and flourishes and kind of, you know, changes as we grow and evolve. But it really takes that intentionality of saying yes and just planting those seeds and those intentional steps forward.
And also it's, I feel the first steps is the power of no, because we have to have the yes, we have to say the no. That's the letting go of, you know, the habits, the distractions, the doing things out of obligation or should. It's almost like we all have layers of this. And I feel that we always are being called to kind of now more on a regular basis, especially if you're doing inner shadow work. It's going to mean that there is an outer need for you to start letting things go, whether it was certain dynamics where you perhaps are no longer aligned to give that level of energy and time. Like, that takes bravery to pull your energy back from things, to listen to what's right for you, even if that other person suddenly is not particularly happy about your decision and choice. Your inner authority, all of that is like flexing a muscle that then kind of builds your inner strength that you will need when you are, you know, living your purpose, shall we say, whether that's through an expression of a business. You know, boundaries are always going to come up, whether it's with, you know, yourself, those around you, clients. It's always going to be, these are almost like the areas that we need to kind of learn through, are almost like patterned for us as we start to build a stronger relationship with ourselves.
Yes, that's so powerful. And, you know, it's something that I see often in my work is that those that are perhaps doing the work have been on this path for a while now. And then perhaps something arises, whether it's, you know, relationship conflict, or whether it's a health, you know, challenge, or whatever the case may be. Maybe it's a block around abundance in your business or something like this. And there can be a tendency to get frustrated or to judge the experience of, why is this happening? You know, I've been doing the work, I've been on this path. And I have to say, you know, it is a softening, I feel, of allowing these experiences to arise and knowing and trusting that they're releasing, that these are coming up for a reason at this time, so that you're becoming more clear, more of that pristine divine frequency. And so, you know, for me and my own personal journey, I had to let go of so much. I mean, I feel very grateful now for going through a, you know, dark night of the soul where there was, you know, relationship catastrophic challenges that really forced me to go within and look at my own areas of wounding, my own areas of needing to heal that inner child, you know, looking at health challenges and feeling like everything was out of alignment, you know, relationships, friendships, family, health, all of these things. Like, for me personally, I feel, I know we all are kind of encoded with this divine alarm clock, but for me, it needed to be sort of this kaleidoscope of things in order to reroute me in a different direction, because I was on that path, and it really took a shaking up of my whole world, which I know many people can relate to invite me to go on a different path. And so oftentimes it is, whether it's a small shakeup or it's a large one, there's such a gift in that, because it's really our souls rerouting us to a more aligned, more abundant way of being.
Oh, I love that. There's so many pieces there that would be relevant to pretty much everybody at the moment. And did you have any of your current toolkit during any of those layers of transformation? So could you do any of your own deeper alchemy whilst going through it? Or was it literally the, not big boot of the universe, but it was like a reset in one go? What was your experience?
Not in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, I really didn't have an awareness or tools. You know, for me and my personal journey, it's been a gradual process of awakening and expansion that will continue on and on. And it's been gradual. And, you know, when I started, I didn't have the tools. It was a divine mirror to help me understand what was residing in my subconscious. So it started with the mind, and then it, you know, expanded into the body, the spirit, more of these, other types of modalities of healing. But I really actually started with NLP. That was kind of my entry point of understanding, okay, there's stuff that is happening in my subconscious that is really, preventing me from living an aligned life. Like, what is the voices? What are the stories? What are the parts of me that are really fragmented, that really need some extra attention and healing? And so through that, it was just this expanded awareness of, yes, there are all of these aspects of me, that have, had, you know, painful traumatic experience, that have had emotions that I'm holding on to. And so it was through that awareness. And really, I have to say, a key part of my journey has been self-love. And it's always something that I return to over and over again. And it's so simple, and yet I feel it is the most profound, because we can look at all of these, you know, complex forms of wisdom and teachings. And really, I feel it's the simple places of compassion, of forgiveness, of really deeply loving ourselves and ourselves on such a unconditional level. Because truly, that translates to our ability to love our children, to love our partner, to love our friends, our families, love conflict, our challenges that arise in the world. It's really through that inner space and reservoir of safety that we've built within.
Oh, that's so powerful. And it's something that's also coming up for many in my community, is the awareness of, maybe I don't know how to give that to myself, and I'm frightened to almost give that care to myself, because we know that on the other side, you kind of have to feel some of the grief and the sadness that comes out when you feel love, when somebody shows you deep empathy and sees you for the first time, or hears you, or that is a heart opener. It will just bring up the emotional release, but that's the gift. And it's knowing that, you know, somebody that can even sometimes hold that in their energy field, they're like, I don't know why I feel like this, but, you know, it's because they can feel the love and they're not used to that frequency. Like, love literally will open you, and it's an expander, and that's what we're being moved back to. And I feel that, it's a kind of perfect cycle with what we've been talking about, you know, to be conceived in love consciously. That was by design what we were meant to experience. And when we then go through those different life experiences in early childhood, through the lens of love, you know, being seen, heard, and through that coding, means that literally the next generations will not be wondering what to do and unpick our emotions and, you know, all the rest of it. The next generation is going to be like, wow, I just, you know, it is going to be like another planet in like 20 years time, quite literally, because what we are having to work through is reparenting ourselves when we didn't even know that we weren't being parented correctly, if that makes sense. And for some people that, you know, have conceptualized these experiences, but the body and the soul tells you something different. And I feel that that's a big challenge for many getting into the body work as well, is that self-love is not judging yourself. It's not something you can tick on a box, I've done it, or it works straight away, or that's me done, I've done it once. You know, it's like, this is daily. This is like daily work to unpeel the habits of a lifetime, really.
Absolutely. You know, we touched on some of the systems and structures in place. There are so many forces that teach us that we're not worthy, that we shouldn't love ourselves. I mean, the media is a powerful example of that. And so we need to be aware. We need to be mindful of these. And it's true. It takes a daily practice, and it takes that radical self-love. And that's the way I just like to refer to it, because it's just an infusion of compassion towards yourself. And sometimes we need those expanders, you know, whether it's an imaginary, you know, divine mother and father, or, you know, looking to ascended masters, or even, you know, people in our community, because we're able to see that such a love exists and we're able to connect with that. And then we're able to see that also within ourselves. And I think that's the key to go on that journey of really beginning to deeply love. And it is a journey, you know, it's absolutely a journey. But I love how you bring it for full circle, because it's so true. You know, we all came here to this earth at this very pivotal time. It's no accident that you and I and every single person that's listening to this transmission is here on earth at this time. And, you know, we came here for the healing and the evolution of our planet. And we came here specifically encoded to share our own unique magic, our own unique codes. And it really, you know, in a world that maybe encourages conformity, we really are here to be that unique light, you know, that unique expression of source consciousness. And so it is that liberation and that self-love that allows us to express in the only way that each of us can express and that is needed in the world so deeply.
And it's such a beautiful way to sort of collectively close our conversation, because it feels like literally it's all back to this. We are rebirthing ourselves. We're rebirthing every system. We're rebirthing things back to how the divine blueprint of how things should have been. It's now our opportunity to actually rebirth anew. And we all have the codes and the keys and the wisdom within us. And it's the love and the courage that starts to unlock those. And yeah, such a powerful conversation. Thank you so much for sharing and bringing all your wisdom and your amazing energy. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I love this conversation. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would be amazing if you could show your gratitude by sharing this with someone who could benefit from its medicine. I would also love it if you could leave us a review on iTunes. Till next time, love and abundant blessings.